our hearts unto you, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, I pray that you open our hearts to receive fully what you have for us, Lord. I know your word says that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And Father, I pray that today is liberating. I pray that it's freeing up for us to be able to take another step forward deeper into what you have for us, to walk out the calling, the visions that you've given us, Lord, and to enter deeper into the promised land, the good life, the good stuff that you have for us, Lord. We're praising you and we're exalting you and worshiping you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So a word of encouragement. I believe it's going to stir up the Spirit of God that's within each one of you. Okay, God's Word does something on the inside, and it'll stir you up to walk in victory. Okay, I had a title for the sermon today, or the message, and it changed about three different times, and it ended up with the Spirit of Victory, because that's something that I believe God has given to us as a believer. He gave us something that makes us a little different, and it allows us then to go a little bit deeper into God's Word. So we'll look at the Spirit of Victory. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to move in your heart, okay? Because the Spirit is what does the work, okay? I share the words, okay? I can preach all day long until I'm blue in the face, and it won't do any good except that the Holy Spirit moves in hearts. The Holy Spirit touches and does things deep inside to get things going. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will motivate you, okay? He'll encourage you and not only motivate you, but you know what it's like if you get all hyped up on something, you're ready to do it, but you don't know how? Okay, the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers you to be able to do it. He gives you that understanding so that you know how to do it. I believe that He will allow us to press deeper into the promised land, okay? There's something that's out there. We're going to look at that story of entering into the promised land, okay? But there's something about that God was using as an allegory for us as believers today that says, you know what? I want you to be able to press in deeper into the good stuff. I want you to get to where I want you to be, okay? And I believe God and His Holy Spirit will divinely inspire you, okay, to see visions for your life, okay? Not the vision for your life, but He will inspire you to see visions for your life. Okay, kind of those smaller things that He's put down inside of you that'll help you to get to that next level. Okay, so many Christians today are still trying to figure out what God's plan is for their life. You know, what does God want me to do? Okay, you ever asked that? I've asked that, right? What does God want me to do? Okay, they're struggling to put their finger on the vision. What is the vision? That one thing that God really wants me to do. And the whole time, God is putting opportunities into your path. He is putting what I would call smaller visions into your heart, okay, into your life, that if you just take that step and pursue that smaller vision, get that one thing done, it will lead to that next level. It'll allow you to move on in your walk with God, and it'll help get you to where He wants you to be and where you want to be. Okay, a lot of Christians are doing that. They're not seeing the smaller visions. They're looking at the bigger one that God has placed out there and that we have inside. Okay, some people are like, it's looking at, they're at the base of a mountain, right? And they believe this is a mountain God wants me to climb. God wants me up there on that top. God wants me at the peak of this mountain. Okay, so you see that destination that's out there. You kind of see that big picture that God wants me to do that someday, right? You have a someday? Okay, God wants me to do that someday. Okay, and yet He's putting these smaller visions in front of you so that it gives you a piece of what you're going to need to get there. Okay, it's like you're able to see the big picture where God is taking you, but you're just standing at the base of the mountain, kind of looking up there, kind of bewildered at the magnitude of it, without a clue as how to get there, okay? And the whole time, God is just wanting you to put one foot in front of the other, okay? God just wants you to take one more step of faith, okay? Just one more step saying, God, I don't know where we're going or how we're going to get up there, but I'm just taking one more step. And what happens if you take step after step after step with your goal on getting to the top of the mountain, you're going up the mountain, step after step, you're going to get there. You're going to reach that. Okay, you're not letting the immensity of it all and that unbelief, okay, freeze you up. Okay, you could be well on your way to getting to that goal that God wants you to get, but you're still waiting. Okay, you're still struggling to have an idea on how I'm going to get to that final destination. Okay, If you're not seeing visions for your life, if you're not kind of wondering what that next step is, if you don't have something on the inside that's kind of saying, you know, this is what I want you to do next, okay, it could be carnality in your life. It could be too much of the world, okay, and you're processing things, trying to understand the spiritual things of God with a carnal mind. It doesn't work. The Bible says carnal mind and spiritual, they are at enmity against each other. They just don't go together. Okay, so the spiritual mind and those that are spiritually minded can see, and that's where we want to be. Okay, so if we're carnal right now, we're not seeing a lot of those visions, that's okay, because there's always the opportunity to take that next step and walk one more step by faith, and it'll help you to enter into that spiritual realm where you're able to understand what is going on. Okay, the Bible says about victory in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, it says, "But thanks be unto God." Okay? Who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so we have a victory that is in Jesus. So I'm going to tell you today that if you have gone that far, okay, if you have got that much accomplished in your life, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've received Him into your life. Most of you guys can say, yeah, I'm a born-again Christian, man. I gave my life to Jesus back in 1972 or whatever it is. Okay, some of you weren't born then, but 2002, how's that? Okay, but some of you can recall that point. So if you've got that much accomplished, then you are well on your way to the victory. Okay, you're well on your way. God has given you and put something down inside of you. He has made you promises in His Word, and He has put some visions down inside your heart. So the next step is to simply believe Him and to take Him at His Word. If God has given you a promise, okay, and God says, this is who you are. Okay, this is what you are. This is, and we don't have to, if you're struggling for vision, this is full of it. Okay, to know what the next thing is. What does God want for my life? What is God expecting of me? Okay, it's all in there. Okay, so if He has given you that, put something down inside, we simply need to believe Him, take Him at His word. God said it. Okay, I use that expression a lot. In my daily walk, you know what God said? Enough said. Right? God said, enough said. Okay? I don't have to have all the details. I don't have to figure it all out on my own. I don't have to have some super understanding, be all spiritual and whatever. I just have to know that God said it. That's enough. Okay? I can move forward because God said, this is who I am, what I'm supposed to be doing. God doesn't desire for you to do something, okay, and put it down in your spirit and then sit back and wait for you to struggle along in defeat. Okay, God isn't going to put something inside you. He's not giving you a hope. He's not giving you a dream inside of something that's, you know, some direction. And then He's just going to wait for you to fail, wait for you to fall on your face. God does not do that with you. Okay, you have to believe that God is on your side. Okay, God is in your corner. He is going to empower you to be successful in whatever He is leading you to do. Okay, so the key is if we're struggling to know what is God leading me to do, get in the Word because it's in there. He's going to start showing you, that's kind of part of who I am. That's what God probably wants me to do, that similar thing. And so you have that much, then believe that He will empower you to be successful to accomplish whatever that is. Okay, some things, and I'll explain here in a minute, sometimes when God puts visions in your heart, they're bigger than you are. Okay, if you know what I mean, say amen. Amen. Okay, if God puts something in you and it's bigger than you are, okay, you can be pretty sure that it's God. Okay, the devil will lay some things out in front of you that you can accomplish on your own strength. You know why? Because you'll go for it. I'll do that and distract you, get you right off the side of that mountain. Okay, God's got you on a plan and you see where God is taking you. God is leading you up there. God has got something going and you're going to, we don't want to allow the devil to do anything to lead us astray. Okay, one of the greatest illustrations to be able to talk about or kind of illustrate what I'm talking about is the entering into the promised land for the people of God, okay, the children of Israel. God had promised those guys, if you remember the story, they're in bondage in Egypt and they're crying out and trying to figure out how we're ever going to get out of here. 40 years later, okay, Moses comes, God calls him as a deliverer and he says, I'm going to use you to be a voice, you're going to go speak to Pharaoh, and you're going to go, and these plagues are going to come on Pharaoh, and eventually, Pharaoh's going to say, get out of here, go. And he lets them out of the bondage. You remember the story? They go out, masses of Israelites, all going now, and they're traveling, and they get up against the Red Sea, and guess what? Pharaoh changed his mind, decided he doesn't want them to go. Okay, who's going to build our castles? Who's going to do our stuff? So he sends his massive army, 600 chariots and all the stuff to travel after them, and they trap them there by the Red Sea, right? You guys with me so far? You kind of remember that, you know, the story of Moses, all that stuff's been on TV. So hopefully you guys have at least caught that much. Okay, it's also in your Bible, Genesis or Numbers and Deuteronomy. Okay, so as you think of that story, they get up to that point and God defeats their enemy, parts the Red Sea, they cross, and Pharaoh and his army try to cross, and the water comes back, and they drown in 6 inches of water or something like that. Okay, you remember, and it's miraculous, right? Okay, but the enemy is defeated, and they go on. God gives them a word through Moses and says, I want you guys to go to the promised land. I'm giving it to you. Go to the land of Canaan. Okay, and they get up and they go to a place where they're up close to the Jordan River, and God basically literally says, God, I want you to cross over the river and enter the promised land. Okay, and that's kind of where I want to pick up this story. Because God speaks through Moses to the people very clearly, telling them that they are to go into this land, and he said it was flowing with milk and honey. Okay, that's good stuff, right? Imagine if he didn't have any... I don't know, I won't even go there, but no sugar or, you know, nothing sweet, okay? And you have the opportunity to go to a place that's got lollipops, man. This is going to be good. It's a place that has that stuff that you have been wanting and desiring for a long time, okay? Well, God says that he's going to take them into this land, or they're supposed to go into this land flowing with milk and honey, and that he will cause them to triumph over the ites. Okay, and I say the ites because the land that they were going into had the Hittites, it had the Girgashites, it had the Amorites, it had the Canaanites, it had the Jebusites, and it had websites. No, I'm just kidding. Are you guys with me? That's a 20th century enemy of the believer, okay, websites. Okay, but he also tells them that even the children of Anak will be there. Okay, Anak was a giant. Okay, and the offspring of Anak were giants, and that's what was in the land. And he tells them that you're going into a land that's got all these ites and the Anaks that you've heard of, okay, but that he is going to go with them and defeat their enemies. Okay, he didn't tell them that they were going to just waltz in there like it's Disneyland. Okay, that's what they thought they were going into, and Christian believers, hang in there with me, because sometimes we think we should just waltz through life. Nothing ever comes our way that's going to, you know, tempt us, or nothing ever comes our way that's going to be a challenge. Okay, we think it should always be easy. Okay, well, God didn't tell them that they were going to go in there like it was a walk in the park. Okay, he told them that it was full of people that were mightier than they were, but he said that he would defeat their enemies and ensure that they obtained the land and the victory. Or the victory in the land, however you want to put it. Okay, let's read this. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. It says, when the Lord God, this is Moses talking to Moses, when the Lord God, thy God, shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, Canaanites, the Perizzites. How'd you like to be known as a Perizzite? Okay, I don't know about that one. Okay, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations that are greater and mightier than thou. A few verses later, Deuteronomy 9:1 kind of restates it. He says, hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan on this day. In other words, the time has come. It's time to do this. To go in to possess nations that are greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. Talk about building a wall. Okay, there's a wall, right? A wall that's built up to heaven. God is the one describing it this way. It had to have been very well fortified. Okay, so he says, cities great and fenced up to heaven. Verse 2, and a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou hast knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Okay? Understand, therefore, that this day that the Lord thy God is he which will go over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto thee. Okay? God said that he would go in front of them, okay, and bring them down. Bring them down to a fightable size, so to speak. But that it was they that would be the ones that would actually drive them out and destroy them. In other words, they had a part to play in it. Okay, sometimes we just wait on God. We just want God to poof, make it happen. Okay, but guess what? God flows and works through people. Okay, and so God may have something that you're going to play a part in it. So often Christians get discouraged. Okay, they think they've missed God's plan for their life because they run into a few obstacles. Because it's not easy, right? Okay, it's not super easy. They think it should be, you know, really easy. And if it's not, then man, it must not be God. I must have missed it. Okay, and that is what causes people to live in defeat. Okay, they have run into a few bumps in the road. Maybe something that shook their world a little bit. Some bumps are bigger than others. And they convince themselves that, you know what, this, I just must have missed God. This is too hard. There's no way that this could still be God. They thought that if it was what God wanted to do, you know, it'd be easy. But they convinced themselves that, you know what, it just must not be God. And they quit. They back out. They fall short. They come short of reaching whatever that little vision was or whatever God had laid on their heart. And they quit, and they start describing just how difficult the circumstances were. And that's how people justify it. When they quit, they're like, oh, it was bad. It was so bad. I was going through this, and this happened, and this happened, and that happened. Just couldn't have been God, so I just went a different direction. Okay, and they begin to justify why they walked away from it. But I'll tell you right now that in order to accomplish some of the great things that God has for you in your life, you're going to have to fight for it. Okay, the children of God have to rise up, stand up, get up on your feet, get your battle stance, and get ready for what's coming. Okay, because in order to see some of these things happen in your life, you're going to have to maybe engage a little bit. You want a healthy marriage? You need a vision for it first, but then you're going to have to fight for it. Not fight in it, but fight for it, right? Okay, you have to fight for it. It's not easy. How many people had, I shouldn't even ask this, do I have to raise your hand? But just think about how many people of you had squabbles this week, had difficulties this week in relationships, in your family, your marriage, work, different things going on. I don't know what was going on this week, but I talked to several, I'll just say several, people that all came with kind of the same story. It felt like they're under attack this week. Like, man, did something get released here? Because this is getting hard. Okay, and it wasn't easy. And you have to stand up against that. You have to fight and resist against that. Okay, you want to be out of debt. You have to have a vision for it. And then you have to battle against that spending more than you have coming in. Okay, you have to fight for that. It takes some, you know what, I'm going to say no today. Okay, you have to have a little fortitude in order to walk in peace and joy and success. You have to fight against the spirits of doubt and of worry, of fear, oppression. You have to resist against the enemy in order to gain some ground. Okay, the children of God are going to take some ground, and some of it says by violence. Okay, it's not meaning we're going to go out with swords and guns and stuff. Okay, it means you're going to fight in the spiritual realm, because the battle that we fight is not in the natural realm. How many know that? Do you have an understanding? Ephesians chapter 6, you have some armor of God that he has given you so that you can fight in that spiritual realm, because that's where the battle is going to take place. So all these things in the natural, the squabbles come up, the flat tires, the, you know, this happening, hit your thumb with a hammer today and burn your hand with a fire the next day, and this is going on and it just keeps getting worse, seems like thing after thing. What are you going to yell at? The fire? The fire's doing what the fire's supposed to do. You're going to yell at the hammer? The hammer's doing what the hammer's supposed to do. Okay, start putting the blame where that blame belongs and say, devil, get out of here. Okay, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I'm standing up against you, and I'm going to fight for what I believe in. God does not want me in pain, doesn't want me suffering, doesn't want me hurt. This is not of God. I bind you in Jesus' name. Get out of here. Okay, you can do that. God has given you a spiritual authority through Jesus, through your faith in Him, that allows you to walk in that kind of a victory. Okay, that's a bunny trail. Somebody needed to be reminded of that. To walk in victory means that we walk by faith. Okay, to walk in victory means we walk by faith. Faith involves taking God at His word and believing that it will come to pass, just like God said it would. Okay, God told the Israelites to go into the promised land. There was big giants in there. There's people stronger than you in there. But God said, go into the promised land. I'm going with you. I will bring them low. You will be victorious. That's the word from the Lord. Okay, that's what they needed to stand on, that, believe it, okay, and to be able to go in there. It was going to come out all right. And God's word shows us a characteristic of some of the people that were actually able to get into the promised land. You guys remember how the story goes? Not everybody went in, right? Generations had to die off, right? Because they rebelled against God. I'll give you the whole story. I don't want to jump ahead. God's word shows us a characteristic of the people that were actually able to go in. Okay? Those were the people that had a spirit of victory. They didn't look at defeat. They didn't look at the enemy and say, I'm defeated before it even begins. They had a spirit of victory. It's the people like Joshua and Caleb. Okay, let's refresh our minds a little bit of this story. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, it says, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search out the land of Canaan, that was the promised land, which I give unto the children of Israel. God says, I give it unto them. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, of every one a ruler among them. Okay, to explain that language, God basically told them, pick one man out of each of the 12 tribes of Israel to go in and check out their inheritance. Okay, it's kind of like if you had a billionaire uncle, right? And he buys an island in the Bahamas, and it has this huge mansion on it, and he gives it to you. He says, this is why I just want to give this to you. And then he says, go and check it out. Go check it out. See what your inheritance is. Go and see how beautiful it is. Go and see how wonderful it is. And then just come back, pack your bags, rally the troops, because you're going to be so excited in that scenario. You'd be so excited by the time you came back that you'd be like, wow, yeah, let's go. Let's pack our bags. And you'd rally the troops. You'd tell your family. You'd get everybody excited. Now it's time. Let's go. Let's go to the Bahamas. Let's move into our new mansion. Okay, this is a great thing. Okay, well, God wanted the Israelites to pick out the leader, a person from each one of the tribes, go in and see your inheritance. Go check out this place that is flowing with milk and honey. See how great it is. Okay, get a taste of the greatness. Go in and see how abundant it is. Go and see how blessed it is. Okay, and then he expected them to come back, tell their families, get their tribes all riled up, that let's go, and they would all go in together in one time. God wanted them to go in and taste of the greatness. So Moses does this. He sends 12 spies. Included in those 12 is Joshua and Caleb, which we've heard about before. And he tells them, go into the land and check it out. And here's what he said, Numbers 13, 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, the promised land. And he says to them, get you up this way southward and then go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak or few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what the cities they be that they dwell in, whether they be in tents or they be in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, abundant or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land, for now is the time of the first ripe grapes. So Moses gives them instruction to go into the land, but he doesn't tell them to go in and compare themselves to the people that are there. God already told them they're mightier than you are. They didn't have to do that. Moses didn't give them that instruction. He didn't tell them to compare themselves to the people that were there and try to determine whether they were strong enough to overtake them. Okay, because God had already promised them the land. Moses knew that. Moses was a believer of God, right? And so he thought, you know what, God already said it, so I'm just going to send them in. Go see who our neighbors are going to be. Okay? He sent them to see, are they still living in tents? Or are they living in strongholds? Do they have nice fortified houses? What's going to be there when we get there? Okay, when I was a younger Christian, I was living in Rapid City, and when I was getting ready to move to Laramie, it's almost before internet, if you guys can imagine that. Okay, so we didn't have that. You know, if you want to look up where you're going to move, you ever done that? You look up a place and you can check to see what the rentals are. You can see what the cost of housing is. You can find out a lot of information about a city, right? Go to the DDA website and find out all about the city you're going to go to, right? Okay. Well, I did that when I didn't have it online, so I did it in the natural. Okay. My pastor had come in a church we were in Rapid City, and he was a good friend. And he pulls me and a couple friends into a room, and he tells us personally, he said, Gary, we're going to go and we're going to plant a church in Laramie, Wyoming. And we don't put any pressure on you guys. You know, if you want to go, you can, but it's really windy in Laramie. That's what he told us. Okay? Well, before the conversation was over, before we left that room, my buddies and I had already decided we're going. Okay? So we went into work the next day, and each of us put in, we corroborated our story a little bit, and we each put in for a certain number of days off so that we could go to Laramie. I had never been out of South Dakota very much, okay? And so we were going to Laramie to check it out, right? And we went and we, found what the rental places were, and we went from, real estate place to real estate place. Some of it we did together, some of it we split up. We each had different kind of fields of work that we were in, so we went and picked up applications. One of the guys even had a job before he left that day. He was a truck driver and he got hired on the spot. And so we went ahead and checked it out to kind of get a feel for it, okay, to see what is the housing market like there compared to Rapid City. I mean, are we going to pay twice as much for rent? We went to check it out. Okay, with the intention, we were already planning to move there. Okay, now that's what I picture with Moses sending these guys in. He's not saying, go see if we can live there. He's saying, go check it out, because we're going to move there, right? As soon as you guys get back, 40 days from now, when you guys come back and tell us what it's all like, we're just going to go. We just want to know, are they going to have good housing for us? Is there wood nearby so we can build new houses? You know, what's the neighbors like? You know, you ever check that out? One of the main things we did when we went to Laramie was to check out the spiritual atmosphere, okay? Because it was way different than Rapid City to go into Laramie, a college town. Rapid City wasn't like that. It had a different feel to it altogether. And we went to Laramie, and it was kind of different. It had a different feel to it. But we spent literally hours praying together while we were there. We stayed in a hotel, and I think my friend slept in a car and other stuff while we were there. But we'd gather together and say, let's get together and pray over the city. Let's pray over this and get a feel for what's going on. That's what they were doing, is checking it out before they actually moved there. Okay, so Moses sends them in, find out all this stuff, and then come back. And go figure, they went and checked it out, and they came back, and it was exactly like God said it would be. There was giants in the land, there was, you know, the people were mightier than they had strongholds with tall walls and their cities and all these things, but it was flowing with milk and honey. It was good stuff. The greatness of God and what he said would be there was actually there. It was as good or even better than what God had promised them it would be. So here's the report when the 12 spies come back. Okay, 40 days later, they've been there checking it out. You know, it took a little longer to drive there and back than it would today. So 40 days, you know, it took a while to get there and to get back, to get things done. They had to kind of hide out and do whatever. And here's the report they gave when they came back to Moses, Numbers 13, 26. It says, when they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation, the children of Israel, in the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, they brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, and they said, we came unto the land where you sent us, and it surely is flowing with milk and honey, and this is some of the fruit of it. Okay, but the majority of the spies had lost sight of the vision. Okay, the majority of the spies forgot why they were going there. They didn't go with the intention of, this is our new home, let's go check it out. They went with, let's go see if we can actually do this. Do you see where the lack of faith kicked in? Do you see where they lost sight of the vision? God had already put that seed in their heart and said, this is yours. You just go take it. But they had lost sight of that, and they're going into the promised land with an idea of maybe we can, maybe we can't. We're going to go see if we can do it on our own strength, and if we can't, which is what 10 of the 12 came back with, that we can't do this, they came back with a different response. They let fear rise up. They lost sight of that vision, which is where fear will come in, because now you don't know what you're doing. When you've got the vision, you know what you're doing. There's no fear, okay? And they let fear rise up and dominate their response. They said, yeah, it's a great place, but we'll never be able to live there. We can't overcome the people that are there. Look at verse 28. Nevertheless, the people, they said, they be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled, and they're very great. God had already told them that, right? Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. God told them they were going to see the children of Anak. The Amalekites dwell in the land in the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Websites, all that are there. They dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites, they dwell by the sea. They've got that taken over by the coast of Jordan. Okay, they came back with a completely different response. They came back with not, you know, yeah, it's great, let's go get it. They came back with, it's great, but we can't go get it. Sorry. So here's the thing about the vision that God gives you. Most of the time, it's going to be something that is impossible for you. Okay, if you could do it on your own strength, you'd have already done it. Right? It's going to go bigger than you. A couple of the spies had that part figured out. They didn't care if it looked impossible because they had the vision. They knew what God had said, and they were simply going along with that. They went in with the right attitude, and they were not moved by the circumstances. The other 10 spies, they saw the big walled cities. They saw the sons of Anak, the giants, okay, and it tripped them up. They didn't expect to actually have to have God's intervention to be able to take the land. They were thinking carnally. They were basing it on what they could physically do. They were looking at their army and looking at these guys saying, there ain't no way, okay? They're up against something that's too big for us. We can't do it. They did not expect that bump in the road, okay? And a lot of Christians today are like that, okay? They expect to kind of skip along through life and everything be happy and everything peachy all the time. And then when a little trial comes, okay, a little mountain comes along that they have to climb over, or something comes up to the surface that they have to overcome before they can get to that next level, they get all bent out of shape over it, and they quit, they give up, it's too hard, must not have been God. But God has placed in you the spirit of victory. Okay, when you're walking by faith on a daily basis, you're just trusting God. God said, that's all I need to know. When you're walking like that, you can barely even notice the circumstances. Okay? Because God has already said, this is what I want you to do. I have I guess it's a personal example, but with being a pastor of this church, there have been bumps in the road, but it doesn't faze me. Now, maybe somebody looking in from the outside, whoa, why would you do that? Why would you, you know, what do you, it's, oh, it's so hard. I don't even notice it most of the time because I know this is what God has called me to do. And so if there isn't a bump in the road, if there is a bump in the road, I still don't notice. We're still going forward. I still got that end vision, and we're just taking one step, little by little, and we're taking that ground. We're climbing that mountain until we get to that big picture that's at the top. Okay? So something that may come up, it's not as easy to notice because all you can see is God and His Word. What did God say? Oh, that's all I need to know. Let's go forward. Well, one of the spies named Caleb had just such a spirit of victory. Okay, he wasn't looking at anything else. He was looking at God. Here's what Caleb said. Numbers 13:30. Caleb stilled the people. He gets everybody quiet before Moses, and he says, let us go up at once. We've seen it. It's good. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He was not looking at the people. He was remembering the vision God had put in his heart. God said, this is what we're supposed to do, so let's go up. We're well able. We'll overcome this. That is a spirit-filled attitude right there. Okay? He was not moved by what he could see. He was moved by God. He was moved by what he couldn't see. Right? But the naysayers that were with Caleb, they were overwhelmed by the circumstances. What was a good and wonderful promise from God, something that they could stand on, they let fear rise up, And they went as far as turning the promise of God into a tragedy. Okay, they turned the promise of God, the good things that God was giving them, into an evil report. Numbers 13:31 says, but the men that went up with Caleb said, we be not able to go up against the people. You can tell right away, what are they looking at? For they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. Okay, you couldn't give a more derogatory statement back in that day. A land that ate you up is like living out in the red desert. You know what I'm saying? It kind of eats you up. After a while, it'll get to you. There's nothing but, not even sagebrush will grow out there kind of thing. And it's, my friend in real estate used to say, it's where the jackrabbits and rattlesnakes carry lunch buckets and water pails. Okay, because there's nothing there. Right? And so it's desert. Okay? Well, that's the way they described it. And yet, they brought back some pretty good stuff. Okay? We'll see that here in a minute. They brought up an evil report of the land, which had searched out the children of Israel, saying, the land, though through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. You want to make sure they knew it was giants. Okay? And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Well, comparing yourself to your circumstances is never a good option. Okay, as a believer, you don't have to go there. Can I do this? Can I afford this? Can I overcome this? If we start comparing to those things, we're losing sight of God. We want to fall back on the promise that God has said and don't let the enemy steer us away from the vision that God has laid on our heart. You may know how this story ends up because the people refused to take God at his word and to go into the land. God said, okay, then none of you are going to go in except for Joshua, Caleb, and everybody that's 20 years old or younger. The kids will be able to go in because by the time they get ready to go in, they're going to have forgotten about all the giant stuff and they're just going to be remembering the word that I gave them. Because God had promised them that land. It had to happen, but it wasn't going to be by the older folks that were naysaying and turning away. Okay, Joshua and Caleb were spiritually mature enough to be able to see everything was still right on track. Okay, right after this in Numbers chapter 14, it says, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes. They tore them in agony. They're just despaired. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are just bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, so let's fear them not. Okay, they gave it one more shot and said, come on, we can do this. God is on our side. But the people were stiff-necked. They were hard-hearted against God, and they said, you know what? If this was God, it would have been easy. Okay, they gave up. And they never got to experience walking in that promised land. Look at how God describes Caleb in the next verse, 14:24. He says, but my servant Caleb, he tells them, you guys have spoken against me. But then he says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whithersoever he went, and his seed shall possess it. Okay, notice what God says about Caleb. He was of a different spirit. Okay, he had a spirit of victory that was down inside of him, and he would not accept defeat. God said that the next step in fulfilling the big vision was to simply cross over the Jordan into Canaan, and he just wanted to put one foot in front of the other and go accomplish that vision. Okay, that's what God said. He wanted to go get her done, you could say. God said the promised land was theirs for the taking, and that was all he needed to know. It may look difficult. It may not have looked like it was going to be super easy, but since God said that was his destiny, that's all the information that he required. Okay, being confident that God is fighting for you and through you. Okay, you are not destined to be destroyed. God, you are not set for that. That's not your, not God's plan for you. You're destined for greatness. You're destined for good things. You're destined for the victory in the name of Jesus that has been promised to us. God has not given you a spirit of defeat. Okay? God has not given you a spirit of despair. He's not given you a spirit of discouragement, of disappointment, of doubt. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You can look at the circumstances with a carnal mind and you can think, you know what, there's no way. Or you can recall the promise that God has given you. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. Like Caleb said, you are well able to possess it. You've been given a spirit of victory. You've been given the opportunity to go forth and to accomplish that next part of what God is calling you to do. So start stepping out by faith and saying, you know what? God said. That's all I got to know. God said. And just take that step and go for it. Okay? If God said that's what's coming, then that's what's coming. Just take that next step. Begin to walk in the visions that God has given you, and it'll incrementally get you to the end result. God has put that out there to show you where you're going, but He's going to give you those visions to get there. Father God, I praise You this morning. I thank You for Your Word. And Father, I thank You that, Father, You encourage each one of us to go forward, to move ahead with You, to take another step in the name of Jesus, to go forward in faith, just to walk by faith and not by sight, to be moved by You and not by circumstances, to be led by Your Holy Spirit, to be guided and led into where we're supposed to go next. And Lord, we won't look to the side, to the right, to the left. We won't look at the obstacles, the people that may be in the way, the financial things that may be in the way. We won't look at any of that, but we're keeping focused on You and believing that if You have laid this on our heart and You gave us this vision, then You will help bring it to pass. Lord, I pray, build us up to walk by faith, that we walk in an understanding of You deeper than we've been before, that, Father, we're willing to take that next step. We're willing to go a little bit further and deeper with You, a little bit more trusting with You, a little bit more yielding to You, and allow You to take us in that direction. Lord, I know it's good. It's a promised land. I know You're leading us in the right direction. It's going to be good. It is good. And, Father, we're just stepping forward into it. And these things I pray in Jesus' name, amen.